is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
News for the Soul is now in its 25th year of broadcasting. Tune in live or visit the archives at newsforthesoul.com. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Time for Eyes Wide Open with Janessa and SJ. Let's bring them on to reintroduce themselves, the show, and what's up for today.
Hey, and welcome to Eyes Wide Open. We are multifaceted beings living in a multidimensional existence. We hold the power of perception, and this power alone paints our reality. Perception influences the things we see and the things we don't see. Together, we'll explore the mystical and the material, the metaphysical and the physical, the supernatural and the concrete, the seen and the unseen. Hi, I am your host, Janessa Finley Ford. I'm an empowerment coach who went from supervising felons to marrying one, and it's not what you think, and if you've been following along here, you already know that story. After turning the most challenging experience of my life into what allowed my relationship to thrive and liberate my spirit, I now empower other people to heal their relationships, addictions, and injury from the criminal justice field. So here today, we are going to get into the seen and the unseen. So buckle up. It's going to be an amazing series. It's going to be more than just today. We're going to look at the systems and how they were designed for control. And quite honestly, how the world we live in is not what we've been taught it to be at all. This series might leave you fascinated. It might inspire you to do more research. It might even trigger you. It might do all of the above. But more than anything, I hope that it really engages your critical thinking skills. And I hope you lean into questioning the things that you've always known to look for what really is the truth. So as always, or always is new, we want to kick off the show with a funny story. And I have to give a shout out to my friend Joni, who triggered this memory in me recently. I got to laugh about it, and I decided all of you guys should get to laugh about it too. So probably about 5 years ago, Travis and I went to watch the stars. So on my bucket list, I want to see the Northern Lights. So badly want to see the Northern Lights. I think that is fascinating, and it would be breathtaking and awe-inspiring. And I do not live in a part of the world where you can see the Northern Lights, not regularly. Perhaps once every couple years, there's a chance. So this was one of those times. Supposedly, we were going to be able to see the Northern Lights if we left town, got away from the light pollution. So we went out to a lake to observe this rare sighting of the green dancing aura in the night sky, and nothing happened. And as night grew on, the disappointment set in, the chill set in, we were getting cold, uncomfortable, tired, and so we decided, all right, you know, maybe it's going to happen later, but I think the comfort of bed is sounding much more appealing. So let's go home and we'll try again the next time the opportunity arises. So we got in the car and we were driving back. We made it to the highway. It's not a major highway, but it was the main paved road in that area, to head back into town. And I glanced in my rearview mirror and I was so excited. Like, there was a light on the horizon and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's happening. Like, I couldn't really even find my words. I was so excited. And Travis turned around and looked out the back window, not through the teeny tiny rearview mirror. And he began laughing hysterically. And I'm like, what? What is so funny? Like, should we go back? And he said, Janessa, it's a car. What I thought were the Northern Lights was car lights that were on the opposing side of a hill. So you couldn't actually see the car yet. You couldn't actually clearly see the headlights yet. And when I looked in my teeny tiny rearview mirror where you get just a couple inches of vision, I really thought that what I was seeing were lights on the horizon and not, you know, the reflection of car lights coming up over a hill. So this is quite hilarious. It was also quite disappointing, but very hilarious. Also a great segue into what we're going to talk about and discuss here today. Because isn't it so that when we really want to see something, we will see it? How interesting are our minds that we can create this reality, even if it's just a reality that we want it to be? If we really want to see something, our eyes will see it. And if we really do not want to see something, then we will bury the truth, deny the truth, hide the truth. And we recently talked a little bit more about the intricacies of that with the Family Dynamics show. That was just a couple weeks ago. So if you're intrigued by that topic, go back and give that episode a listen too. Hopefully this episode will leave you asking a lot of questions and looking, critically thinking, and searching for what truth is. Or maybe it's going to affirm the truth that you've been pondering and questioning. I'll give you a little background first of how I came to be interested in this topic or any of this information, because Janessa personally is not a history buff. I am not intrigued by history at all. I can remember sitting distinctly in my chair at my desk when we had to memorize the presidents in order. And I'm not really for sure what value that has because, first of all, I don't remember. Like, I remember some of the president's name. Definitely couldn't tell you all of the presidents who ever were presidents of the United States today. And I just don't find history, which was mostly taught through memorizing events and dates, to be intriguing or valuable. But what is really intriguing to me is human behavior. I absolutely am so fascinated by human behavior, what makes us tick, how even as a society we've come to be where we are now. And the more that I started researching, I discovered that what wasn't actually taught to me in history in school has an awful lot to do with human behavior. And so that has sparked going down this thread of information and energy, because it's all intertwined. And of course it is, because everything in the world is connected and intertwined. Now, I do want to say, with what I'm going to be talking about here today, I know not all of our listeners live in the United States. So first of all, thank you for coming along on this journey with me. The information I'm going to share will largely be relevant to the history of the United States, but that's going to be just interwoven. It's not going to be the basis of the information. So for those of you living in different countries, I hope that it sparks some interest of topics and things to research and think about on your own of how things work where you live. And also because we're all interconnected, and we'll get into this topic more over the course of the next few shows, is the fact that there is a desire for control or function to be the same throughout the entire world. And so just because the little historical nuggets might be specific to the U.S. does not mean that this doesn't actually influence you, affect you, or have historical value to where you live as well. So I just wanted to throw that out there, spark some interest, of course, to do your own research. I say that all the time, because there's so much value in that. Without me following my curiosities, I wouldn't even have this information to share with you guys today. So a little bit of information about how or who or what I base my information on actually stems from Jordan Maxwell. And if you go to my profile on News for the Soul and the 11 questions that Nicole had us answer, you will see that he was one of the people I listed as most influential or impactful. And his teachings, I came across, you know, in perfect divine timing, of course, and I can't even tell you how I found them. I like fumbled across them probably on YouTube, happenstance, I would guess. And I would say it was likely approximately 5 years ago that I saw his first video. And within a matter of 5-10 minutes, I wanted to watch every video he had made. I wanted to know all of the information he knew, because it was all so new to me, and some of it I had to listen to more than one time to really allow my mind to expand and to be able to wrap my thinking around it. But I knew that even though I didn't actually know, like, what he was saying had never been taught to me before, it resonated with me so strongly. I knew there was so much truth to it. I had to know more, and I had to put all of the pieces together. Now, his teachings are broad, but the bulk of it is the meaning of signs, symbols, our language, etymology, so what words actually mean, what we're actually saying through the language that we're speaking. He gets into the language and Hebrew translations in the Bible and how those words, what they actually were meant to be, how they are interpreted, and how that of our actual lives in reality. He gets into law. He gets into birth certificates, lots of fascinating topics that I had never even questioned. Like, oh, a baby's born, you get a birth certificate. It's just the way the world works. But why? I had never stopped to think about, why would we need a birth certificate? Like, why does that hold value? I get a social security number, I file my taxes, but what is that system actually creating? He sparked the interest of asking these questions and finding answers to them. Now, unfortunately, Jordan passed away last year. I think about a year ago, I want to say it was last March, and I didn't hear about it immediately. I believe I heard about it 2 weeks maybe after he passed. So when I had the opportunity to have this radio show, I did not actually think that the content I would be bringing or teaching or talking about would be connected to his work at all. But this has really been put on my heart. And so I think that it's beautiful that he was so impactful in my personal growth, that I'm here sharing his knowledge, carrying it forward. Because when I did learn that he had passed, I Googled it, and it's really intriguing what you don't find on Google. And there was very, very little information that could be found about his passing, or him, or his work. And we'll get into the topic of that here soon, but I feel as though that in itself means something. So let's talk about why the systems need to be controlling. What is the ulterior motive or the initiative that's being taken to drive that? Now, systems that control us create spiritual limitations. They create disconnection from our knowingness, from our guidance, from our intuition. It stifles our ability to chart our own course. For those of you who are into the chakra energy, it closes the third eye. Some of the strategies being used crystallize the pineal gland, which has been connected to the inner knowingness as well. And, you know, when there's confusion, confusion creates cloudiness. And when there's confusion and cloudiness, it's a lot easier to influence those who are unsure or fearful or anxious. And I experienced this with the investigation with my husband last year. I went into the interview and I was super clear on everything, and I walked out of there energetically cloudy. And it took a while to come back to a state of clarity, to connect, to meditate, to, I felt scrambled in a way. And essentially, it's that scrambling that doesn't allow our psyche to think clearly, to be able to critically think, to discern things for ourselves. And honestly, at the root of this, there is financial gain for a small number of prominent families. And that is what has driven the systems to be set up. Now, you may be wondering, like, what are we really truly talking about here? And a lot of people may hear this referred to as the Matrix, especially with the Matrix movie that was created. Or you may hear this concept being talked about as living in a simulation, which makes me think of video games. And when SJ started training in shamanic healing techniques and she introduced me to the upper, middle, and lower worlds, I had a moment where I was like, oh my gosh, the Mario Brothers video game was simulated or emulated, created from the context of shamanic journeys. There's the world where they're fighting demons and using flower power, like earth medicine, right? And then you go down the tube into the lower world and you collect your golden coins. And then you go up the tree branch or the vine into the upper world. And you get some extra lives and you find some secret worlds. So these are the things that I hope to trigger within your thinking to start connecting with things that have just been, you know, like a common story. Mario Brothers was a fun video game for me as a kid, and I never thought anything more of it. And then 30-some years later, it takes on a whole new contextual meaning. And so I want to pose the question to you, are you plugged into the Matrix, or is the Matrix plugged into you, or the simulation, or whatever word you want to use in what resonates for you of looking at the world that you're living in isn't truly what it's always been presented to be, because there's been an agenda for you to believe what has been presented. Now, the America that we live in is not the America our founding fathers envisioned. So how did it happen? How did we go from what was envisioned and set up, which was, mind you, based upon God's law, universal law? There's verses in the Bible that directly connect to amendments within the Constitution. So there is this very spiritual basis for how our founding fathers intended for America to be ran, if you will, for lack of better word. Now, the centralization of power has truly shifted that vision away from what it was. And, you know, centralization of power has its benefits. It comes with conveniences, affordability, and a lot of people are motivated by things being more affordable, not always stopping to ask, well, at what cost? Things are easier, you know, there's advances and innovation that happen. If you look at, you know, over the course of time, the centralization of power has been able to make our lives a lot more convenient. So the automobile, electricity, you know, now the internet, like all of these advancements are made, but it's truly a trade for our liability. And whenever we rely on the government to solve our problems, whether that's, you know, energy, economy, reaching space, supporting, ending poverty, the government's never able to do it as well as private sector. However, in our minds, we're taught to think of relying upon the government for solutions to these types of problems and to seeking the systems that the government has in place for those, instead of thinking outside of that box or turning to private companies. Now, as I've mentioned a little bit before, and we'll get into it a lot more, these large corporations are used by a vast majority of people. So they're set up by the minority, by a small number of people who have a lot of money. They run the corporations. And then the vast majority of the people use them. So an easy example, think of Google. And Google is able to filter out and censor information. So a small number of people are influencing what the majority of the people have access to. And if information isn't present, how could you ever believe that there is a different philosophy or belief system or fact unless you're doing your own critical thinking? So whenever a small group of people have a large amount of power, this is centralization. That's what I'm referring to and talking about with the centralization of power that led to these systems having the control that they have. Now, another strategy within that is using complexity while hiding the law or the rules, the foundation of a system. Any system that's created, when you don't know all the rules at play, it creates a vulnerability and the ability to leverage or weaponize the system for a specific outcome. And that's driven largely by profit. Now, there's also the complexity aspect of the government based upon laws. Laws control us. And if you think about how many laws are enacted each year and how many laws have been enacted since the Constitution was written, and then we're all supposed to follow these laws, that's an incredible amount of control in itself right there. But things get so complex. Do we even keep up with all of these laws that are written that we're supposed to follow? And this is really where the ability to self-govern comes in. And I'm not saying self-govern by ignoring, rejecting, or refuting a governmental system. I am referring to self-governing as aligning yourself with the higher power and the principles that the Constitution, the universe, the universal laws are built upon. And when you're in alignment with that, you're going to transcend essentially the government and be living in a way where these influences aren't actually going to have the same ability to control you. So you transcend it versus fight. And that's one thing that I'm super passionate about. The more that we fight, we're actually creating fighting. If you think about the energetics of that, like there's an injustice, let's fight against it to fix it, to solve it, but you're just actually creating more fighting. You're creating less harmony by your reaction to fight back to change something. So it's by transcending and rising above it, by approaching it in a harmonious energy, perhaps love, truth, whatever that is, that you're really going to have the positive impact that you want to have. There's not a winner or a loser. In that context, in that mindset, everyone wins. Okay, so also speaking to the complexity of the centralization of power, think of how many fragmentations exist. If you look at the government, for instance, how many different agencies are within the government? So many. And then when you look at governmental employees, whether they're employees directly employed by the government or contractors, they have clearance levels, and those clearance levels control or indicate, influence, regulate the information that those employees have access to. So not everyone has access to all of the information. So they fragment it down. So even the employees can't see the whole big picture at play. They just see their little sphere or orbit. And these same fragmentations also happen in private or corporation-based companies, based upon the pay scale. So your high-level senior manager, the CEO, the board of directors, the founder, they're all going to have different access to different information, and they're all being paid differently. The same fragmentations occur within the government as they do the private sector. And by fragmenting out that information, it really truly masks the greater, bigger picture. Now, the centralization of power really comes through just basic human nature. So I do want to just take a moment and say that I don't necessarily think that there were people who wanted to create a system based upon sitting down and drawing out, like, how much control can I assert over people? And I'm in it for power. I'm in it for control. That's just my personal opinion. And, you know, as always, do your own research and draw your own conclusions. And if you do, I would actually love to hear those. So please come onto Facebook in the Stronger Together group and jump into those engagement posts and let me know what your thoughts are. But I think what happened is just simply our basic human nature of ego and desire to have city mindset and experiences that get interwoven generation after generation, where we want more and more and more. That's basic human nature. And it has turned into something that really might not be benefiting society so much at all. So I just wanted to throw that out there and trigger, spark that interest of thought in you guys as well. So let's go just a tad bit further into this idea of the fragmentation of government and corporations and business and the limited access, and how they're not allowed to talk about certain things to other people. And this is how every negatively polarized organization, I'm not saying it's a negative organization, I'm talking about the energy, the polarization, the negativity within that works. The negativity works to create, as a result, diligent and loyal employees. Or if you look at it from a video game, like the player in the game, they're creating diligent and loyal players in this bigger game and scheme that's been created. And we saw this with the soldiers in Nazi Germany when they testified at the Nuremberg trials, and they admitted that they didn't know the bigger picture, that what actually was being created was genocide. And they were just completing the orders that they had been given. And so by one small influence upon small influence, this whole greater, bigger, horrible, you know, evil mission was accomplished. But if they had given full disclosure to the entire people, that corruption wouldn't have worked out so well. If they had known the whole purpose, the whole plan, the whole agenda, when you can see the whole thing, again, you transcend. Like, the intention you might not align with, so you might not carry out your one small little assignment. And as you've heard me talk about time and again, where there is secrecy of information, that's leveraging control, secrecy of any kind, that is not in alignment with truth or God or creator, creation. So while I'm on that topic, just really quickly, Hosea 4:6 is a Bible verse. And as I said, many of the laws and constitution were taken from religious contexts or documents, not just simply the Bible. You can find other doctrines, if you will, interwoven into it as well. But a lot of different religions share commonalities, so that's not surprising. So Hosea 4:6 says that God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, and that God will reject them and their children for rejecting knowledge and forgetting his law. So essentially here, if you can see or say or believe that the Constitution is being rejected in the society we're living in, then it's synonymous to say that God's law is being rejected, and it's a result of not knowing the truth, not having the knowledge. So that is why I am so passionate about bringing this information, because it's for empowerment. Once we have the knowledge, once we see the manifestation of greed for what it is, human ego over many, many, many generations cultivated and allowed to make decisions or lead in the decisions, when we are awakened and we realize that we are the creators, we can make a positive change in the world. And we'll also understand and realize how we are designed to positively impact the world. That's another great thing about this confusion and cloudiness, is that so many people say, I don't understand what my point or purpose is. And they search for that. And a lot of people don't ever find that in their lifetime. But when we have the empowerment, when we have the knowledge, when we have the clarity, when we have the spiritual connection, when we can critically think, when we're using our mind, when we know, because our brains are very programmable, when we can program our brains to align with our heart's desire, and our heart's desire is connected with our spiritual source of truth and knowledge, man, we are really, really powerful beings. And so this information I give with the intention of cultivating empowerment. Because when you don't understand what's going on in the world and you don't see the truth, then you're a vibrational match for being controlled. Our thoughts are energy. So if our thoughts are in a low vibrational state, control is a low vibrational behavior. And we make ourselves a vibrational match for control. Essentially, we're easy targets. We're sitting ducks. And I also want to be very clear that I personally do not feel that the government is the main source of the control. Now, some of the systems within the government have control, but I think that most government officials really aren't awakened. They're just, you know, a cog in the system, if you will. They're diligent worker bees. They believe that they're serving a greater mission, a greater cause. They're helping people. I certainly spent the majority of my government employment believing that I was serving people. And in some aspects, I was. But I didn't understand who I was actually serving at a higher level. And I think that's true for a lot of people within the government system. So I feel like the government sometimes gets to be the scapegoat for the bigger picture. And this isn't, you know, black and white, and it's not finger pointing. It's just going to give you pieces of the puzzle and the picture. I want you to critically think through to see and explore how those pieces fit together and what picture you're seeing. And keep in mind that humans are biased. You know, we're a product of group influence. And could you confidently say that you wouldn't have done some of these same things if you were standing in their shoes? And when I say some of these same things, we haven't really gotten there yet. Hang with me. That question will become much clearer as we work through this series. But I'm talking about the decisions that were made that led to the systems being the way they are today. Now, my personal life gives me a lot of reason to believe that the government oppresses, controls, dominates. But when I really dug into the material, what I found paints a different picture. And so I share this because we all have bias. When we don't know every single detail, our brain just fills in the gaps, but it does so using our biases. And so be aware of what your biases are. Be curious and really critically think through everything, not based upon what you've just always known, but based upon what you're truly seeing. Now, I also don't know everyone or every family that's been involved in the creation of these systems. There are some names that are certainly prominent and well-known, and we'll discuss those as we go through these different systems. But overall, these people are referenced to be the financial elite, and they are at the top of, you know, the power pyramid. If you look at a pyramid of power, the government is actually second from the bottom, and we, the people, are at the very bottom. So take a moment and think about that for a second. If you have a pyramid triangle of structure and the people are at the very bottom in regards to the power and the government is just above them, who actually has the power then? Well, you're going to find that it's banks and that there's actually a continuum, essentially, of the poor, because if we can keep the general people poor and the elite at the top rich, then money is just a tool used to leverage power. And those who have the money have power. And that's essentially what the power pyramid shows us. All right, just checking my notes to see where to go with the time that we have remaining today. But I do want to say that when a purpose being acted out is done so in disguise, most aren't going to see the actual purpose being acted. And we saw this very clearly during the pandemic. So there was, in brief, we'll say, a need and desire to separate people. There's a lot of, I think, underlying agendas within that time frame, but we'll look at it from the social aspect, because when we keep people apart, if we keep people against one another, you saw how polarizing this topic was within families. If you were vaccinated or not vaccinated, there were tension and fighting and couldn't even see one another. We were all supposed to stay in and our own homes and not have contact. That is one of the most unempowering things for people, because if people were to collectively unite and come together, there's far more people at the bottom of the pyramid than at the top. There are far more people at the bottom of the pyramid at the top, but the problem is the people at the bottom of the pyramid are too busy disagreeing with each other. And so they can't unite and join forces for a common cause for the good of all, because there's so much ego attachment to what that good, that strategy looks like, that everyone stays at the bottom of the power pyramid, controlled by all of the other influences. It's very strategic for those types of events to occur, to continue to assert power and control. But is that being done overtly or in disguise, right? Like at the beginning of the COVID outbreak, was your first response and reaction to ask, how might this be controlling me? Or did you see the images on TV of all of the people, the hospitals, the crises, the fear, the trauma, and be focused so much on the message that was being fed to you? So to wrap up here today, I think we're going to start looking at entertainment, specifically with social media, since that's played such a huge role in my life recently with where my family is. But we're going to talk about all aspects of entertainment. If we don't get into, you know, the TV and those types of entertainment, the news media, Hollywood, we will start back there next time. But so entertainment is, you know, news media, social media, internet, the culture, Hollywood. We'll think of it in those terms. And I'm just going to say to start out that those in power have always used forms of entertainment and vices to tranquilize the people, to distract the people, to keep them docile. If you think back to, you know, ancient times, gladiators fighting one another, there's often fighting and survival interwoven with a lot of drinking, spectators drinking an awful lot, keeping them, you know, not in a high state of clarity of thought. And so as we have evolved as people in society, those same tactics are being employed. They just look different. They just look different. It's the same exact strategy and purpose. So looking at social media and our cell phones, they're not exactly one and the same, but I'm going to talk about them in that context today. You know, can you go a whole day without using your phone or without using social media? And think of all the things that your phone is, this computer in your hand. It's not the phone that used to just, you know, the landline phone, connect one person to hear another person's voice. It's now an entire computer. It's tracking your location. It's leaving a digital imprint everywhere you go and everything that you do and every message you send and every comment you make. And when I look around, when I'm out in public, you know, even families at dinner, they're on their devices rather than being engaged and connected with one another. And we think, especially when it comes to social media, there are some benefits to that, right? Like I have family in different states that I know more about their life than what I would without social media, thanks to social media. But it's trading off, unless you're being very mindful about when you're using the platform, keeping up with what's going on with my community on social media comes at a trade-off for being present with the people around me in the present. And so this connection that it creates is a bit of an illusion unless we're being very, very mindful about when and how we're using it, because it does create that one step removed connection. You're not actually connecting with a human right in front of you. You're connecting with a picture or a thought, something they post. And yes, that is connection. And it's better than having no connection. But it's not the same as the connection that we have with the people who are around us. And that can really impact our relationships. And if you look at the differences between the generations, when I look at my parents and the way that they socialize and interact and their values, and I look at my friends' children and being raised with the normality of social media, of cell phones, of technology to stay connected with their friends, and I look at their values and what their norms are, there's a really large gap between what would be 3 or 4 generations. Now, social media also stirs anxiety. It often stirs for people fear, feeling not enough, comparison of others. Man, that comparison runs real strong. And it really drives the lack mindset. You see what other people are having, and our brains are programmed for lack. And so it directly goes to that. What I don't have that other people have. And it keeps us focused on very surface level things for the most part. Again, unless you're being mindful about how you're engaging and what you're engaging with on social media. And it also stirs this disconnect, discontent, also disconnecting, that discontent and the other emotions that I already mentioned that are stirred. And there isn't lack of clarity when you're in a highly triggered emotional state. And then also take a moment and think about all of the social media platforms that are out there. There's YouTube, Pinterest, Getter, Facebook, Twitter, Gab, Truth Social, Instagram. I mean, those are just a few that come top of mind. Snapchat, like the list goes on and on and on and on. How many of these do you have an account on? How many of these do you actively spend time on and engage on daily? And you know your phone, if you're running your social media activities through your phone will actually tell you. So if that's something you want to know, at one point in my life, I had my social media app open all day long, even while I worked. And this was before coming into the work that I do now. So this is when I wasn't yet aware and awakened. This isn't yet when I was mindful about how I was spending my time or creating the energy or even creating my life. And I spent so many hours a week, and I was the least satisfied I had ever been in my life. And I eventually chose to stay off of social media for 6 weeks, and it was one of the most pivotal things that I did. But it can become so consuming. And I really challenge you to ask yourself, do you get just caught in the scroll to see what's there? Or when you're on social media, are you intentional about truly connecting with people or spreading a message that is truthful and aligned with who you are? As the scroll, there's just that numbness, and we'll get into the brain waves and what they do next in our next series on this. But there is this tendency with the scroll that our brains go into a brainwave where we just numb out, and whatever we see, we subconsciously are absorbing it. So do you begin and end your day with social media? Is that the first thing you think about during the day and the last thing you think about before you go to bed at night? Because a lot of things happen also within the brain with the information that we're giving it before sleep. And how many times during the day, in between, when you just need a break, social media your go-to? A great thing for self-reflection is to start looking at and being honest with yourself of how much content are you inundating your brain with in a day? Now, the last thing about social media that I want to talk about with this, the control of the systems, is how they're using it to control what you believe. And we're going to get into some fascinating things in the future, such as the individuals who influenced Germany during the time of the Nazis and the Holocaust, also influence the education system through controlling what people are able to see and access and learn, essentially. And the same thing is happening on our social media platforms. And we see this through documentation in the Twitter files, and then also through probably one of the most important to date civil liberty cases, which is Missouri and Louisiana versus the Biden administration. If you've never heard of this court case, it is well worth your time to look into it. It's well worth your time to follow it. That court case has proven that things are being censored on our social media platforms. There are specific topics that have algorithms written so that we cannot see them. And so, again, information and what might be fact is just disappearing. Also, that court case has revealed that CISA, which is the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, the head of that agency was quoted saying, the most critical infrastructure is cognitive infrastructure. What is cognitive infrastructure? It is your thoughts. The head of this agency, this government agency, has said the most critical infrastructure is your thoughts. And she was stating this when discussing that CISA is in the business of protecting critical infrastructure. Therefore, they want to protect your thoughts. But shouldn't you have the ability to protect your own thoughts, to discern what is your truth and what isn't your truth? And this is what is happening on our social media platforms. And it's well outside of social media. It also is Google, YouTube. Most of the really common platforms that people spend the majority of their time on. This is not by chance, friends. This is not by chance at all. These things were designed knowing how the brain works, knowing what it will consume, how it will consume it. And so we have to be in this state of empowerment where we're deliberately choosing our choices, our thoughts, our content, our materials. And one thing that Jordan Maxwell really impressed upon me is the occult. Now, I was raised in a religion where anything cult had me running in the other direction, and I thought occult was the same until I started listening to Jordan, and I realized that occult is hidden information. It's not a cult, like a cult. It's O-C-C-U-L-T, occult. So those strategies are still being used today. That information is being hidden. Ways of the world are really where we come into our empowerment. And those are the things I want to share with you through this series. So when we reconvene in 2 weeks, we're going to go further into entertainment. And then we're going to go to the things that are required for survival: food, water, energy, shelter. And we're going to get into those and shining light on how that also is a means for controlling you. It's fascinating. I would love to hear what you learned here today. So please come on over to Stronger Together on Facebook and drop in the comment section of the post there what you found to be most fascinating or thought-provoking and what your theories about some of these topics are. Our topic also in Stronger Together this month is going to be working through resentment, which interestingly has a connection to love, lovability. It's pretty cool. So we hope that you will join us there in that community. Next week, SJ and I will be back together, and we will be discussing by request aliens. And there is oh so much to discuss about aliens and what is truly being disclosed or not disclosed, what Congress has enacted That's allowing more disclosure to come forward than ever before. A doctor, a very interesting doctor who is involved in this, as well as a former FBI agent who is connected to the extraterrestrial information. So I hope you will join us next week for that and join me again in 2 weeks to continue with this topic of the control within our systems. And until then, friends, keep your eyes wide open.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.